Welcome back in to the David L. Gray Show, off code and unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. How's it happening? Welcome in. It's about 3:38 here in Germany, and we are streaming live on YouTube, X.com, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I decided to stream on LinkedIn. It's been a while for that. Excited to have you in for this awesome show. Glad that you're here. However you're listening, wherever you're listening from, welcome in, Hounds of Heaven. If you're listening to the audio platform and you're on Spotify or iTunes, please leave me that 5-star review. I would appreciate it. Helps with the algorithm. And please like this stream here if you're watching the video version. Like. Even like it if you don't like it. It just helps more people like it or unlike it. So I definitely appreciate that. So what do I have for you today? I really just have one thing. Some of my final thoughts on the whole Vegano scandal. Going to get into that. This is my final thoughts on it. And you know, I was just watching Christine Harrington's she did a live stream on the whole Vegano scandal. And I saw someone in her comments had said, "Hey, I met David L. Gray once at some conference where Father Altman was at." And he said, "You know, David Gray is just in it for the clicks now," which I thought was a really interesting comment, because if this channel was in it for the clicks, you know, it'd be a completely different type of channel. It would have a completely different type of content. So probably 100,000 more subs. You know, we try to have content here at St. Dominic's Media that actually helps people in their faith, but also at time, yeah, it brings awareness to certain issues. And one thing I've been on for a number of years, as you know, is Rad Trad Inc. It's one of my favorite whipping posts. And so I was speaking about this Vegano thing. I think maybe this is my fourth or fifth video about the whole Vegano scandal. And it's not for clicks. It's because it fits into what I've been saying about Rad Trad Inc. and how harmful they are to people's faith. How they're just making set of people just set of a conscious because of all the things they do to undermine people's faith and just making a shipwreck of people's faith and having them doubt their faith. And so it fits into that conversation. So that's why I've been speaking about the whole Vegano thing. So it's not for clicks. But we're going to get into it. And then I think I'll be done with this topic for a while. The whole Vegano scandal. Why will I be done with it for a while, but not completely? I think it reached this conclusion. What happened, we knew was going to happen, especially when he decided not to show up and be a man and show up for his trial date. He ended up excommunicating himself. It's a latae sensia excommunication, which means by what you've done or what you failed to do, you've excommunicated yourself. So it's not the church or Pope Francis or the DDF that excommunicated him. He excommunicated himself. That's what latae sensia means. Just the act itself, to what he's done. The schism, denying Vatican II, denying the papacy. He excommunicated himself. All the church did was affirm that. So, and to be honest about this whole thing, I think it's interesting that Pope Francis decided to be, or the DDF decided to be, proactive in this case. In the past, what they have done with bishops like Vigano, who was a bishop, what they done with people like him, was that they waited until they consecrated a bishop. Waited until they took that step of innovation, so to speak. And then they would excommunicate them. But with Vigano, who they know he has a clandestine seminary, he's ordaining priests. They know he's eventually going to take that step. You know, he's sending his priests into diocese now. He's eventually going to, you know, he started his own church, his own religion. So eventually he is going to consecrate a bishop. And typically in the past, that's when the church would say, "Okay, you're excommunicated." But they're being proactive here because they know that's the steps he's taking. He wants to be Lefebvre. He wants to start his own SSPX. He thinks he's, you know, he thinks he's some sort of demigod or whatever. So I may comment again when that eventually happens, just to be like, hey, I have an I told you so live stream that I told you this is going to happen. And it happened. I may do that. But for now, you know, I'm done with the vegano topic. It's not really interesting anymore. And, you know, someone like him just needs prayers. You know, he's very prideful. He's just a depraved, degenerate man who's just full of himself. And so he doesn't really need more commentary on his evil. He needs people to pray that he repents. But I had a thought on the last four things, so to speak, you know, not death, judgment, heaven and hell, not those last four things, but the four things that I learned over the past few weeks about this whole vegano scandal. So this is, you know, off code, unscripted. I don't have any script that I'm reading off of or anything like that. I just have some notes that I want to get through. And I also want to hear your thoughts on what are some of the things that you learned about, you know, the church, the Vatican, vegano. What are some things that you learned? Other Catholics, how they've reacted to this whole thing. What have you learned from this whole vegano scandal? I'm interested in reading your comments. This isn't a show about Pope Francis. We're not going to get into the whole whataboutisms, you know, because I think there's a lot of whataboutisms. Like, what about James Martin? What about Bishop Stowe? What about all these other depraved people who are doing evil in the church? You know, on Pope Francis, I've been where I've always been on Pope Francis. And I think the people who watch St. Dominic's Media, who watch Off Code Unscripted, they tend to be people who have the intellectual capacity to be able to say that more than one thing is true. It tends to be that type of people. We tend to be the people who are able to say that, yes, Pope Francis has been a bad pope so far. Yes, Pope Francis does not seem to be fulfilling the duties of the Petri ministry, which are simply three: to proclaim the gospel, to be a source of unity for his brother bishops, and to be a shepherd. Right? Especially on the point of being a source of unity, Pope Francis seemed to be failing miserably. So we're able to say that is true. But we're also able to say that, okay, he's a bad pope. He doesn't really seem to have the charism of Peter, but he's pope, right? He seemed to, on this channel, the people who watch this show seem to have that intellectual capacity to be able to say multiple things can be true, right? We're also the type of people who, you know, we're like the Jews in a sense. You know, the Jews, we can say in biblical times, we're able to say this person, let's say Jeroboam, is king, but he's a bad king. Right? But he's king. We could point to things that he's done that's not really kingly in the eyes of Israel, that these are the ways that he's offended God. But he's king. We can look throughout salvation history, not just the last 2,000 years of some bad popes, but all of salvation history and see bad kings, maybe sometimes bad false prophets. It's just, this is just what happens in the ecclesia of God's people. You get wheat and you get weeds. On this channel, the people who follow this channel seem to have the intellectual capacity to be able to say and to recognize that we are just earthen vessels. And sometimes with our leaders who are earthen vessels, only thing they do, they're able to fill us with some sort of anticipation and hope and be able to look forward to the perfect because they're far from perfect. And so let's get into the four things that, you know, my four takeaways about this whole vegano scandal. And again, I look forward to your comments. Make sure you like this video. I really appreciate it. So let's go ahead and roll into it right after the promo. This is David L. Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted. Hello there. I am David L. Gray, the host of Off Code and Unscripted. I'm also the president and publisher of St. Dominic's Media. At SaintDominicsMedia.com, I would like you to hop over to our website today and take a look at everything we have to offer you there. And while you're there, I want you to become a member of our family. If you become a member of our family at just for $5 a month, I'm going to send you a gift. I'm going to send you a book of your choice from our collection as just a gift of you becoming a member of our family. And if you become a lifetime member, and I hope you do, you become a lifetime member, I'm going to send you every book we have ever published at St. Dominic's Media and every book we will publish in the future. And just for you helping our apostolate, becoming a member of our family, and just helping us carry out the mission that we have received, and that is to help people live their best liturgical life. So hop on over to St. Dominic's Media and see how much more you like us there. Thank you. Welcome back in to David L. Gray Show, Off Code Unscripted. Let me get to a couple of your comments just right off the rip. Let's say a prayer for what's going on in Texas. I saw in the news they're getting a lot of rain and a lot of water, hurricane, no power. So let's keep them in our prayers. Welcome Diane Kelly, who is a new member. Brandon said, yeah, that's kind of rude. Yeah, David or St. Dominic's Median for the clickbait. I've never been accused of going after clickbait. That's kind of funny. But you never know what people's perception of you is. You know, it's just based upon their reality. KFA reminds me of Chick-fil-A when I first saw that. Man, the one thing I miss living here in Germany, I would say that I miss Chick-fil-A the most. Wendy's, I miss Wendy's. I miss Nutty Bars, but I have family members who mail me Nutty Bars. So I miss Now Laters, but I have people who mail me Now Laters. People can't mail me Chick-fil-A and Wendy's. So she says, hey, oh, they say, hi, David. Can you comment on Vigano's reconsecration earlier this year by an SSPX Bishop Williamson? Let me get into that. Honestly, don't think any normal person, Michael Latta says, normal person, right? Because we're definitely not normal. If you're on YouTube, you get like Catholic content on YouTube, you're not a normal person, right? Normal person that perish knows what's going on. Yet the normies really don't know or care, right? That's the great point. Brianna says she learned that there are a lot more people who think that Bishop Vigano is right than I thought. Or maybe they are shouting the loudest. Yeah, it could be just a loud minority. That's true. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about, too. One of the four things that surprised me. Ann says, Vigano made a video earlier today, that aired today, about Pope Francis and the Great Reset. What is a Great Reset? That's good. That's a good question. I'll see if I can post a link here about the Great Reset. That's part of a documentary that that did something like that on a Great Reset. Oh yeah, here's a link. And I think, yeah, and if you click on the link, you'll be able to see links to a movie called Great Reset. So it's kind of conspiratorial, but it's also based upon things that Klaus Schwab has said about a great reset. This idea was really popular during the whole COVID times that, but the idea of a great reset that I've talked about, even in my book, the Catholic Catechism on Freemasonry, that there's always been attempts to reset the moral order. And so we can say the Protestants did that. We say the Freemasons in 17. By 1723, they were trying to have a moral reset. We saw it with the communists. We see it now with big tech. We see it with governments. People are always trying to reset the moral order of things. The American Revolution was a resetting of a new moral order of how things are going to be. So Klaus Schwab uses language about there needs to be a resetting of the moral order of the world. And every time that we use this language, Great Reset, it's always anti-Catholic because the church is the moral order, her and her truth. All right, so let's get into, and I'll get back to your comments, but let's get into one of the first things that I learned from this whole Vegano scandal. The first thing I learned, or maybe say I learned in a deeper or more profound way, because it's something I think we all knew, is that Pope Francis and his allies, they have a very deep probably isn't even a right word, but I'll use it for now. They have a deep desire to suppress Rad Trad Inc. Rad Trad Inc., they view them as an enemy. Right? Now, Rad Trad Inc., the movement, is not, when I say Rad Trad Inc., I don't mean people who just love the traditional Latin mass or any traditional liturgies. That's not Rad Trad Inc. It's not Inc. It's, you know, it's a business plan. It's a movement. Right? Some of its key identifiers are this movement consists of people who want to promote the liturgy wars. They're very divisive. They want to pit one Catholic against another. They have really an unhinged distrust and hatred towards Pope Francis. They say things that he's not Pope. He's anti-Pope. He's not the real Pope, right? So that's Rad Trad Inc. They make a lot of money. They have a lot of conferences. Another identifier is that they always self-reference one another. If you go to Rad Trad Inc. channel, you know you're there because they have each other on as guests. They reference each other. They never have people on who disagree with them. Okay, that's Rad Trad Inc. They're multifaceted. They have news platforms, say LifeSite News. They're also old Catholic legacy media, sort of like a remnant. They also have new people, you know, the newbies in their thing, like a, you know, like a Kennedy Hall types. They have grandfathers, Taylor Marshall, you know, one of the daddies of the Rad Trad Inc. movement. Although he's been a little bit better lately. I think recently he said, you know, Francis is Pope. They promote key identifiers. They always want to tell us that the Novus Ordo isn't a good enough mass for you. That somehow you're not a real Catholic if you go to the Novus Ordo. But again, this is part of the liturgy wars, it's part of the Gnosticism that they promote, and it's part of just how they undermine people's faith. If you spend enough time around Rad Trad Inc., you eventually become a set of a contest, right? That's just, you just lose your faith. And we've seen that time and time again. And so, but Pope Francis and his allies have a deep hatred for Rad Trad Inc. That this scandal made me realize even a more profound way. You know, my initial comments on the whole Vegano scandal was that this was just some sort of, you know, it was the start of the Inquisition. You remember that video, the first video I made? I was like, this is the beginning of the Inquisition. And, you know, I was all excited. Oh, the Inquisition is here. And I was really saying that sort of in jest because I knew that it wasn't that. It was going to really stop at Vegano. It's not going to perhaps go on to someone like Bishop Athanasius Snyder, but it's definitely not going to include people like James Martin, Bishop Stowe, and all, you know, some of the cardinals, some of the bishops in Germany. It's not going to go on. It's not going to be that type of Inquisition. Right? It's not going to happen. And the reason why is that I like to call what happened to Vegano an expression of the hatred that Pope Francis and his allies has for Rad Trad Inc. What this was, you can think of it in the context of a military operation. They view Rad Trad Inc. as terrorist to the faith. And so what this attack on Vegano was, even though he deserved it, even though he has communicated himself, he's the one who opened his mouth and said all these things. He put a target on his own back. Was that what this was? Is that this is a targeted strike against a terrorist, one of the, say, generals of the Rad Trad Inc. movement. This is a targeted strike to take out one of their leaders. This was a operation, like we say, take out Saddam Hussein or bin Laden or something like that. This is a targeted strike against a leader of a terrorist group. That's how Pope Francis and his allies views this. Now they've tried to be patient with RadTrad Inc. They've done things such as, the things that they're doing to Cardinal Raymond Burke. Taking titles away from him, pushing him completely off to the side. Pope Francis openly saying that, that's his enemy. We've seen what they've done to Cardinal Burke. We've seen what they've done to Bishop Athanite, I mean, to Bishop Strickland. We've seen what they've done to James Martin. The call was put in for Father James Martin. They've seen what he was doing. He became one of the targets. And all these people, again, are associated with RadTrad Inc. And also, we'll get into this how they're protected by RadTrad Inc. the same way that Hamas, how Israel, how Palestine protects and guards and provides safe space for Hamas. And so, this was a targeted strike intending to take out a general in RadTrad Inc. And also, Pope Francis and his allies have done other things to try to undermine RadTrad Inc. They understand the liturgy wars. That's why, you had that motu proprio to try to restrict the traditional at mass. This is really trying to constrict growth and future harm that they think RadTrad Inc. can cause the faith. So Vigano got caught up in that. So this is one of the most one of the hardest strikes so far against RadTrad Inc. This is a targeted missile to take out one of their generals, and they took him out because he put a target on his back by saying Francis isn't Pope and denying Vatican II. The next strike is likely to come when there's going to be more restrictions on the traditional Lent mass. So, as a side note, I kind of hope that Catholics who just love liturgy, love tradition, hope they continue to learn. Like maybe Palestine will hopefully learn that you don't hide Hamas within you. You understand who Hamas is. They want to destroy Israel. They're your people. They're your brothers, your cousins, your friends. Okay. Fine, but you're not going to live amongst us. You're going to go live somewhere else. And hopefully the traditional Catholics, hopefully they get to the point where they understand the people in their community that is causing some of this unnecessary difficulties with this current pontificate. But I would say whether it's Vigano, whether it's Schneider, whether it's Strickland, whether it's Altman, I think RadTrad Inc., they keep, I think one of the harmful things they have done, I think, is they keep using these priests and these bishops to build up these cults of adoration. They keep building up these people. They'll find these priests or bishops who sort of they can use to leverage, to raise money, to continue to promote their agenda of liturgy wars, divisiveness, unhinged hatred against Pope Francis. And they build up these people to the point of they're like these demigods in the RadTrad Inc. movement. But again, only thing it does is end up putting targets on the backs of people like Strickland, targets on the back of people like Altman. And others, and it puts targets on the back of other traditional Catholics. All right. So as long as this continues, as long as Catholics continue to allow RadTrad Inc., LifeSite News, and all these operations continue to use these clerics and these bishops, these priests to promote their agenda, then it's going to continue to attract far too much attention from Rome, and it's not going to work out well in the end. All right. So I think so. I think maybe a good response to what I just said probably. Well, someone would say, "Well, David, well, how come you don't put more to blame on Rome, on Francis, on Pope Francis and his allies?" Well, Why should it have to be our fault or Rad Tread Inc.'s fault? Why can't it could be their fault for going after these people unnecessarily? Well, I would say again, right? It's sort of like when you're in a situation, say you work at a company, okay, and you're trying to, I don't know, unionize or something like that, right? And you're trying to, the people on the bottom are trying to have some sort of control or influence over their work life, over their workspace. Fine. But you just have to understand the agenda at the top of the company, the agenda from the CEOs, may not be the same agenda as the people, all right? So the best way to coexist in an atmosphere like that is not for people to just say, we're going to go after this and try to get our way no matter what, right? And not realize that there's consequences to actions. You could try to unionize. You may lose your job if you don't have protections, you're in the wrong state or something like that. Other things may happen as well. So the best way to, I would say, move forward is not to aggravate people who you know have a different agenda. Right? I think there's a way for a traditionalist to exist in the Catholic Church, but it's not to, you have to understand that you're not operating in a very safe environment, that the Pope Francis, he does not have a right to preserve a liturgy that's not the ordinary form. He doesn't. Only liturgy he has a responsibility for, in a sense, is the ordinary form. So we can't just sit up here and act entitled to things that we don't necessarily have a right to say we have a right to have. Okay. So I think we just have to understand the environment that we're in, and we don't have to create situations where we aggravate people. So again, the Hamas situation, the Hamas example. Rad Tread Inc. is Hamas. We can say we're just regular normie Palestinians. We don't have to keep poking a bear with Hamas. We don't have to keep propping them up. We don't have to keep giving them a safe space. So I would recognize that we can't just say, oh, Rad Tread Inc. and the things that they do. We can recognize, we can say two things are true at the same time. Again, we can have that intellectual capacity. We can say Rad Tread Inc. is not helpful. And also we could say that the current pontificate isn't friendly towards traditionalists, right? We could say those things are true, but we can also recognize how both sides have aggravated the situation by the pontificate targeting Rad Tread Inc. and traditionalists giving Rad Tread Inc. a safe space. So that's the first thing I learned in a more deeper and profound way. Let me get to the next. And related to that point, and all these things are sort of related to these four points. And the second point I learned is that in a more deeper and profound way is that Rad Tread Inc., I think, is in this way an existential threat to English speaking Catholicism. I think it does have to be put down. I said this before. It does have to be put down. Nothing has good has come from it. I think their denials of the papacy, their denials of Vatican II, and their liturgy wars have led to the liturgy being taken away. We can say, yeah, it's literally their fault by the things that they've done to promote this war. They went up against a force who has more power than they do, leading people into sedevacantism. The lies they all the lies they tell about the health of the traditional Latin Mass community. They say, oh, it's full of growing families, crying babies. The churches are full and all this stuff. You know, but it's a myth. It's based upon numbers. If your diocese has 100 Novus Ordo parishes and one traditional Latin Mass parish, yes, the one traditional Latin Mass parish is going to be full with a lot of crying babies. Flip the numbers around, have 100 traditional Latin Mass, one Novus Ordo. The Novus Ordo is full of babies and crying standing room only, right? So it's just a silly myth, but they promote these things. It's very Gnostic. It's very inclusive. They've taught people to worship liturgy rather than live through liturgy, which is silly. You don't worship liturgy. You live through the liturgy. Liturgy becomes your life. And so what this Vigano scandal has taught us, just looking at the responses of people throughout social media, is that these people just aren't healthy. They keep wanting to tell us, oh, get to a traditional Latin mass, it would change your life, but we don't see the change in their life just by the things that they've been saying. And so the rat trading is an existential threat that needs to be put down. I think there's a drain on people's finances. I think they're just stealing from people for a cause that's not holy. Causes that are just used to finances that are just being used to prop up cults. There's no self-accountability, I noticed, in rat trading from this scandal. Just no accountability whatsoever. They keep pointing the finger at Pope Francis as if he's the only problem. They never pointed a finger at Vigano. Why did you say that? Why'd you say that out loud? This victim ideology that they have, always point a finger at other people rather than themselves for causing their own problems. It just reminds me of Marxism. You know, rat trading, they always want to talk about the infiltration. They want to lie about the Carbonari being Freemasons, which they are not. Some of them were, but it was not a Masonic group. Some of them were, some of them weren't. They're more like the Sons of Liberty during the Revolution. But they always want to tell this lie, talk about, oh, the church was infiltrated with Freemasons and all this stuff. Sure, it probably was at some point in time, more so with communists, more so today with the homosexuals. But they never point the finger at themselves. They're also part of the infiltration. They've infiltrated our community. And their goal was always seems to be the same as the Carbonari, to put their own Pope in. They would like it to be Vigano. Their weaponization of the liturgy, dividing Catholics, putting one against the other, and really getting Catholics worked up and angry about things that's really none of their business. About Vatican machinations and politics. I've seen so many Catholics on social media consumed about things that have no relationship whatsoever to their baptismal calling. In the end, Rat Trad Inc. has taught Catholics nothing. They've made no positive contribution, sure. I think they've brought attention to a beautiful liturgy. They've attracted people more so to tradition. But it was never tradition that is really our call. Because, well, what traditions? The call is to sacred, right? We have to fall in love with the sacred, not tradition. So it's always their mission has always been a little bit off. But it's raised a lot of money and it's given them a lot of power and a lot of influence. But in the end, it's only end up harming just your normie Catholics. Again, they taught people how to worship the liturgy, but not how to live it. Rat Trad Inc. is one of the things that I learned during this whole Vigano scandal, just in a more profound way, that they have to be put down. They have to go away. We have to stop giving them safe space, just as the Palestinians have to stop giving Hamas safe space to operate. The third thing I learned through this whole Vigano scandal is that I learned that people are more concerned about following cults of personality than they are about being holy. They're more interested in following these cults of personality than they are about following their true baptismal call. it's amazing that still today, even after Pope, even after Vigano has been, he's excommunicated himself, I still see to this day, to this moment, people saying that they stand with Vigano. I find that very odd and troubling. They're saying that they stand with a disobedient, prideful, schismatic, who is not even man enough to stand up for himself by going to his trial date. A cleric who's not even man enough to offer the sacraments during COVID. They stand with someone who did not stand for them. Someone who's just a sponge raising money for his new church. I see Catholics making these comparisons of Vigano to people like St. Joan of Arc, Lefebvre, St. Athanasius. All this points to just really a deeper psychosis and the lies that we tell ourselves. There's just a deep comfort, I think, in tickling ears. It seems to be that if you tell some Catholics, and I guess as a human issue, if you tell them what they want to hear all the time, you could easily start yourself a new cult. And that's what we have here. That's what, again, Rad Trad Inc. has brought us to the point of cults, these cults of personality. I don't know if you notice, you know, with this new generation, right? My wife and I, we watch this dating show. We just think it's funny on YouTube. And we're watching it over the weekend. And we were just sort of amazed about how often zodiac signs are mentioned. Right? These young people in their 20s, first thing they want to know is, like, what's your zodiac sign? And then they want to objectify you. You know, you say you're a Virgo. Oh, instantly they know you without actually knowing who you are, right? Like, you become your zodiac sign. Zodiac signs are back. You know, this wasn't, you know, it's not the 70s. You know, remember the 70s? Hey, what's your zodiac sign? Right? It's back. Paganism is through secularism has become, I think, the dominant religion of society today. And it's syncretic, right? It's blending in with mainstream religions, including Catholicism, obviously. Demigods are back as well. Vigano is one of them. I'm just disgusted, right, by this third thing that I learned during this whole Vigano scandal, that paganism is alive and well in Catholicism with demigods like Vigano. And this idea of standing with Vigano, I learned that there's just a lack of care about people's souls. People just have a lack of care about their own soul. Again, if someone tells them what they want to hear about the Pope, it somehow addresses their fears and their worries and their concerns. Someone like Vigano comes along and gives them the easy answers. Oh, he's not really the Pope. Vatican II wasn't really a council. Right? All these things, all these whispers from the serpent in the garden, from Satan. Is that really true? All these doubts that people like Vigano and Rad Trad Inc. fill their heads with. People saying they stand with Vigano. I just can't leave that part alone. I'm like, you're standing with Vigano? Where are you standing with him at? Because he's outside of the church. And there is no salvation outside of the church. But that's where he is. He's where there is no salvation. He's outside of the church. Is that where you're standing with him at? You're also outside the church? The Vigano scandal, man, is... I had no idea, really, how deeply or how many people, it seems to be, in the Catholic Church, especially those who have consumed the media of Rad Trad Inc., how many of them have become caught up in not being concerned about their soul, that they would say, I stand with someone who is outside of the Catholic Church. I don't know the difference between standing with Vigano, standing with Buddha, or standing with Aleister Crowley, or Joe Biden. All these people, I don't know the difference. You're outside of church, and there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. So why are people saying they stand with Vigano? I don't, it troubles me, and it's sad. We just need to make reparations for what Vigano has done, how him and Rad Trad Inc. has harmed clearly so many souls that we've all just returned to paganism in the age of demigods. And that's what you're saying. If you're saying you stand with Vigano rather than you saying you stand with Christ in his church, you're a pagan and you're outside of church. Here's the last thing I learned. And I'll get to your comments and some of the things you learned. I also learned in a deeper and more profound way that we've all of us, have been infected by the philosophy of Vatican II. All of us have been too deeply affected by the philosophy of Vatican II, that the laity need to be more involved in the life of the church. Do we? I don't think that's been healthy. And that's one thing, that's the fourth thing I learned from this whole Vigano scandal, that the laity are not well enough to be involved in the life of the church. Because again, I don't think we're healthy enough to make the right distinctions. I think the philosophy of Vatican II, that the laity need to be more involved in the life of the church, has given us the false impression that fixing a church is our job. Is our job with minimal cooperation from God. We think our job, we got to fix the church. We got to make a video. We got to write a letter. We got to do something. We got to write a petition. We got to talk to the bishops about what they're doing. We have to be involved in the life of the church with minimal cooperation from the Holy Spirit. When in truth, it is the opposite way around. I mean, we cooperate with God. God does not cooperate with us as a first principle, as a first move. God moves and we follow. So God has uniquely called you to somehow build his church, as he called St. Francis of Assisi. Fine. Cooperate with God and follow him in his plan. But what's happened in this age of the laity from Vatican II is that we seem to lay our own plans and we hope that God blesses them. Oh God, this is what I want to do to fix your church. Could you bless it? You know, our baptismal call is simply to be holy. That's it. Be holy. No one has ever been called to be a lector. No one has ever been called to be an usher. No one has ever been called to be a Eucharistic minister, especially. These are not callings. All those things the priest, probably except for Usher, the priest is trained to do. So I think that idea from Vatican II has morphed into something else, right? So we should participate in life of the church with starting ministries and participating in liturgy. But now it's morphed into this idea that we have to fix everything that we perceive to be wrong in the Catholic Church. From Vatican politics, you know, Vatican politics have become like this new catechesis. Have you noticed? It's a catechesis. Like how to manage Vatican politics, how to do something about Vatican politics. Let me teach you everything Francis has done wrong. It's the new catechesis in this new pagan church. It's deeply odd. When the solution has always been simple. I mean, if you want a better world, have more holy people. More holy people means there's less sin. Less sin means there's a better world. The solution has always been simple. God gave it to us from the beginning. Be holy. But if you look around, you don't have to go far. You can just go to Frank Pavone's Facebook page. And you'll see right here on his Facebook page, and he says some friendly advice. Let me add that again. So again, Frank Pavone says some friendly advice. I mean, just, you know, just some friendly, unsolicited advice, right? You know, to Pope Francis and Cardinal Pierre, as if they had asked the question, hey, Frank, can you give us some advice? You can give us some advice. We really need it. You know, we're looking for this. He says, if you want to heal schism, you want to heal and avoid schism. All right. I mean, as if it's really like, their responsibility to, you know, stop people from being outside the church, right? If you want to heal and avoid schism, give us a lot more transparency about the processes, actions, and decisions of church authorities. See, this is what I'm talking about. This idea that the laity has to somehow be involved with the life of the church. Like, why does the Vatican, why does Frank Pavone feel as if the Vatican owes us any of this? Transparency about its processes and actions. Like, how does that affect our baptismal call? How does that make me holy? Why do I need to even be involved in that? Why is that my business? What can I do with this? And he says, in the era of healthy debate, why do we have to debate? When did this become a democracy? I mean, what is this? Where are we living at? That this is now the role of the laity to debate among the bishops and the Pope and have all this transparency about processes and all this stuff. When did that become a thing? And why? I really don't understand. I don't get it. I think if you look at this on the flip side, yeah, sure. We can go back to Boston in the early 2000s, right? In the scandal of the sex abuse with the teenagers and the boys. I think there is a healthy relationship between the laity and the priest. And I think there has to be some accountability. I think accountability is the right word. I think there may be a role for parish councils. There may be a role for a big parish council, you know, that we call it a synod. If the Vatican wants to have its own parish council with its own Susan from the parish council, fine, right? I think there is some sort of relationship there. But this notion that's being advanced by Frank Pavone and other people, that we just need to be involved in Vatican politics and things that don't concern our call to holiness, it just smells like paganism to me. It sounds like a new religion. It sounds very secular. And it's weird in the context of salvation history. We just never seen this before. We didn't see it with the people of Israel demanding King of Israel. We want to be more involved. We need to have debate and transparency about what you're doing. It reminds me of people who don't believe in God because they think God is a cause of suffering. Right? So they have this own their own perception of what God should be doing. They always want to tell God how to do his job. I get it. I think there's a lack of distrust, and I think this stems from distrust. We don't trust the people at the top. Fine. I get that part. We don't trust people at the top. So we're trying to figure it. So what we're saying is, because I don't trust people at the top, I need to be involved in what's going on because I can fix this. And so it goes back to that same idea that we believe that it is our job to fix the church. So we want to involve ourselves. It's really loopy. And I don't think we really think these things through to their logical conclusion. The church needs less laity involved in the administration and all that stuff. Right. And it needs less clerics, I think, trying to micromanage the life of the laity. Like, people just need to stay in their lane, do what God has called them to do. Priests, clerics, bishops, offer the sacraments. That's all we need you to do. That's it. Show us Jesus. That's it. That's your core competency. Do that. Laity, attend to the sacraments. That's really all you need to do. If God has called you to start a ministry that leads people to the sacraments, fine. Okay. Same with bishops and priests. If there's some sort of side thing, some sort of convention or Eucharistic Congress or something that call people to the sacraments, okay, do that. We just have to get to back to the point where this whole thing that we're doing as Catholics is about the sacraments in a sacramental life, in a divine life, and partaking in a divine nature. We just have to get back to some just core basics. And if we don't, this whole thing is going to turn into just a weird paganism in no time. And we may already be there. And those are the four things that the whole Vegano scandal has taught me. Let me get to your comments. And man, there's a lot of them. So let's get there. And I hope everybody's kind of done with this whole Vigano thing. I hope we can put this thing to rest until, you know, he consecrates a bishop. And we'll have some comments about it when that happens. And also, I'm happy to announce that Father Hellnaw Season 2 will be starting, I believe, in September. So look forward to some Father Hellnaw coming back in September. Christmas Praying says the Pope is from Latin America, where he is well-loved by both the Spanish-speaking church and the African church. He enjoys 80% popularity more than any other Pope. His critics come from traditional Latin Mass. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah, English-speaking, traditional Latin Mass, largely North America, some UK, not really. It's just really a North American thing. You know, that's the stint of rad trading. That's why I call it an existential threat to English-speaking Catholics. Brandon says, Joy wants to know if you're going... If you're going to, what is it? No, I don't think I've ever seen it. No, I think I've ever seen it. We had another burger place at the BX. It was called, was it called that? But it's gone now. Yeah, it's gone now. The burgers were completely nasty. So I don't know if Joey's talking about that one, but no. Vigano is saying the Freemasons in the church is not the problem, but the gay mafias in the church. Yeah, if he's saying that, then he's evolved from the letter he just wrote blaming the Freemasons for everything. Menonoid Faith says Rad Trad Inc. has become a cult. It is. It's a cult with demigods. And it's so harmful. So harmful. And Ann says, thanks for the prayers. I'm in Southeast Texas. And we got hit this morning by a tropical storm. Lots of people without electricity, man. That's tough. It really is. And no AC, right? I know it's hot down there. It's July. So hopefully we have a lot of water for older people and some cooling stations. That's tough. Menoy says, saying the ban on a traditional Latin Mass is really disinformation. The Novus Ordo has allowances for Latin and can also be celebrated ad orientem. So the narrative Rad Trading push is just false. And Rad Trading would probably say that I might annoy you that it's not about just the Latin language. It's not just about or ad orientem, they would say. They would say there's just a deficiency in the prayers themselves, that the prayers aren't long enough, especially after you get out of Eucharistic prayer number one of the ordinary form. Once you get the Eucharistic prayer number two, which most priests, I think, use, is the really short one. And three and four, just like, why are they there, right? They say because the prayers are shorter, the prayers are not as good, right? As if the brevity of prayer somehow affects the efficacy of the prayer, which is an interesting proposition. I don't know if I'll go along with that. I would say if you pray well, this is the Dominican idea of the liturgy, that if you study well, you can pray well, that you know what to pray for. You can pray well if you study well. And if you pray well, you can contemplate well, meaning you can think more deeply about those things that you studied and that you prayed. And if you can study well, pray well, and can contemplate well, then you can live well, meaning you can live those things that you've studied, you've prayed, and you contemplated. The Rad Trad Inc. perspective is that If you pray long, you've prayed well. And okay, but now what? It's so shallow. You know, Rad Trite Inc., they want to sound deep. They want to sound intellectual. Because they have the beauty to form a traditional Latin mass, they want to use that as some sort of, I would say, mirror to sort of reflect upon what they're saying, right? But if you look more deeply in the mirror and see them, they're really small. Their intellect is really small. It doesn't, all they've done again is teach people how to worship liturgy rather than live liturgy. And now we know that just by looking around on social media, we see the things that they say. They say, I stand with Vigano. Really? That's what the traditional Latin mass has taught you? To leave the church? Now you can miss me with that. That's crazy. Man, no, he said, why don't you make shirts saying, make the Novus Ordo reverend again? That's funny. Brandon says, before anybody gets offended, David is saying Rad Trite Inc. is Hamas. It's a situation comparison. Yeah, thanks for that. That's funny. Hopefully, people got that. Makalata says, have learned from the extraordinary form and I love it, but Rad Trads only make me angry about things that had nothing to do with me. Amen. Lil Wayne says, the rumor is where they will cut diocesan 1962 Latin Mass. The will offer reverence Latin Orthodox Ordo to weed out those who seek a reverence liturgy and those that worship the 1962 Mass. Yeah. Yeah, Rad Trite Inc. is sort of like a clique, right? It's a bad clique. They're like the clique in high school, right? The guys who kind of peak too fast. The guys, the girls who peak too fast. That high school was where they peaked at. But then we all become adults. We kind of look back and say, man, that's all they had? Yeah. Rad Trite Inc. is just not very deep, right? They kind of peaked. They peaked in... That's all they had to offer. They don't have anything to offer behind. Hey, the liturgy is beautiful. Let's worship it. And this guy is agreeing with what we say. Let's worship him. Right. They peek at making cults. Right. And kind of once you kind of grow up and understand what Rad Trite Inc. is doing, they're just starting cults. You're kind of like, ah, man. It's kind of like, what is her name? Dario Clark, that was her name, high school. All right. Dario Clark had to be, I think, you know, as far as a high school boy goes, Dario Clark was like a 12. It was like a 12, right? And I liked Dario Clark. I think I made a move on her, but she had a boyfriend who then wanted to try to fight me or something like that. And I didn't really work out well for him, right? But then some years later, after I came back, I was in college and I came back home and I seen Dario at a mall. And Dario was like all over me, like, hey, where you living at? You back home? What's your number? All this stuff. And I was looking at Dario. I was like, man, she looks like a crackhead. She had one of those high school peaks. All right. High school peaks. That's Rad Trite Inc. Right. If you kind of separate yourself for just a little while from everything that they're saying. All right. Then you come back, you know, you go experience some other things. You see some other beautiful things in life, right? Right. You leave the country or you go somewhere else for a little while. You get off of YouTube or something like that. You just distance yourself from Rad Trite Inc. just for a little while. Then you come back. All right, go read some other stuff. Just get a bigger palette than, you know, what, you know, Michael Madden, Kennedy Hall, and Taylor Marshall is talking about. Just go expand your palette, right? and my kids go to college, and you know, you just grow up, you see beautiful women everywhere, instead of, you know, just your little small town where Dario Clark is just like the most amazing thing, right? You come back and just realize, man, Ratchet, they're just crackheads. Crackheads. That's all they are. They're just cracked out. So yeah, that's what I would say. Step away from rat trading for a while and you'll figure it out. They're just crackheads. Mr. Roy says, I think the social media space, especially during COVID, has bolstered this out of this cult of celebrity personality. Catholic YouTubers need to be using their platform to honor Christ and his church. Yeah. Yeah. And we could probably go back to the whole clickbait conversation. Because I understand that, social media is tough, right? Especially if you're trying to make money off of it. And I think some of the people with pauper YouTube channels, their channel has become one of their sources of income, if not the source of income. Some of them, this is all they do. Like Michael Lofton, this is what he does. So once talking has become your source of income, you'll say anything. And you really don't have many standards. Really, you can lose your standards. Your standards can go out the window. And now you're making clickbait. And so it's tough. And I understand the Catholics who have made social media their source of income. I understand the position that they're in, it's tough. I feel bad for them. Honestly, it doesn't mean we ignore the issues or start raising concerns, but we need to learn to do it in a way that is firm, but charitable. We can't be angry, but we mustn't let our anger fester in hatred. That's true. Little Wayne says Zodiac is back with women. Men don't fall for that. They have other gods. Interesting. I think on a dating show, it does seem to be more women, but I see men objectify people according to the day they were born. Why don't you just want to get to know someone? I find a Zodiac to be such a shallow thing, right? That you objectify someone based upon the day they were born. Or where the sun and stars were at on the day they were born. And think that you know them based upon that. Zodiacs are like the worst form of objectification in regards to like dating. If I paid attention to my zodiac sign, I probably wouldn't be married, right? Because apparently my sign and my wife's sign are just completely incompatible, right? But it's worked out. So I say ignore zodiacs. Michael Lau says, in my very early 20s, try to find a girl who isn't into their sign and crystals. Yeah, the crystals thing. The crystals. My goodness. Yeah, Mitsunoy's Faith, she bringing up, the other grift, the prophecies, the private revelations. You'll never see me do a show on private revelations or prophecies. I think, you know, they could be true, but why should I believe them? I just don't know if they matter. Like, my baptismal call is to be holy. Why? How does that private revelation affect my holiness? Has anything changed? Go to confession, don't sin. Has anything changed because of that prediction? I don't get it. I guess I try to have a more simple faith. Just sacramental. That's it. PB says, I was drawn to Catholicism because I was sick of these horrible flows in evangelicalism. It perfectly blends the intellectual spirituality. Fundamentalists are opposed to human intellect. Yeah. I don't think that was my draw to Catholicism, but I did definitely appreciate appreciate that. Especially getting away from, you may notice this too as well, PB, just the emotionalism in the Protestant movements, low intellect, right? So my friend Deacon Toby says, why did Paul say hold fast to tradition? Many church-approved operations speak to Freemasonry corrupting the church. Yeah, Our Lady of Good Fortune, which some people misinterpret as Our Lady of Good Success. That is one prophecy, apparently related to her predictions about Freemasonry. Yeah. Again, don't know how it affects my baptismal call, though. I appreciate it. I think I mentioned it in my master class on Freemasonry. It's not in my book, but interesting. Don't know how it affects my baptismal call, whether I ever heard of it or not, right? Linda G, she makes, speaking of private revelations and predictions and prophecies, Linda G says, Vigano will one day be a saint. Look at Saint Catherine of Siena. And this is really what I'm talking about. Just a little bit of the delusion, a little bit of the psychosis. You know, some of the lying to ourselves, right? We want to compare Vigano to people like Saint Athanasius, Saint Joan of Arc, Saint Catherine of Siena. Let me know if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, none of these people ever said the Pope is the Antichrist. I don't know any time where Catherine of Siena rejected any of the ecumenical councils of the church. Even Martin Luther showed up to the Diet of Worms, his trial date. Vigano wasn't man enough to do that. So I just think it's just a little bit of psychosis, a little bit of lying to ourselves, that a person who is outside the church right now, who needs to repent to come back outside, inside the church, will one day be a saint. Maybe if he does repent and he does recognize the Pope and he does recognize the Second Vatican Ecumenical Council, maybe he'll be a canonized saint. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't affect my salvation. But to say that he will one day be a saint. Come on, people. Come on. We got to stop with these cults. We got to stop elevating these people to demigods and cult leaders. And come on, man. Whether he'll be a saint one day, I don't even know if that's even what we should be saying right now. Right now, we should be praying that he repents. The basis of this idea that Vigano will be a saint one day, it hinges on the idea that Francis is the one that is wrong. Pope Francis is the one who's the Antichrist. He's not really the Pope. So one day when the church realizes that Pope Francis isn't really Pope, and the Second Vatican Council wasn't really a council, that Vigano will be vindicated. He'll be a saint. I don't know, man. It's kind of weird to me. In Immaculata, she says, well, like, when was Saint Catherine disobedient? When was she a schismatic? Which vision of that Saint Catherine of Siena was that? Come on. KFA says, we need to attend mass, do penance, make reparations, and pray that God has mercy on his church. We do. We do. Oh, Linda says, how is Vigano being disobedient? I'm just going to pass over that question because I thought I don't even know where to start. Hopefully you guys can help Linda out in the comment box. Little Wayne sort of points to it, saying Catherine of Siena didn't deny five popes were valid in ecumenical council and a liturgical rite were valid. Stop with that nonsense comparison. Thanks, Little Wayne. Appreciate that. Thanks for that. Thanks everyone for helping out Linda. She doesn't really seem to be. She seems to be too far gone. A little bit too far gone for common sense. Deacon Toby says, no salvation outside of church is about as trad as it gets, albeit truth, then can be a tradism. If there were no Vatican II, you would not be having this conversation. Sign of the times. That's true. Yeah, thanks everyone for help. Trying to help Linda. Megan says, Pope Francis is our spiritual father on earth. When I was 14, my dad told us that we were moving to a new town. He did not need me to agree with him. I went along and he was in charge. Hey, man, praise be to God, right? That's a good comparison. Like, there was no committee set up. There wasn't like a debate or nothing like that. Is that what you're saying, Megan? No debate. Right, you didn't have a voice in the matter, right? You just trusted him. Now, sure, if things didn't work out, it was a bad move. Maybe your mom would have held him accountable. Like, why did you move us here? Kind of like Moses with the children of Israel. Why did you bring us out to the desert? There's no water, right? There's always time to hold people accountable for mistakes or perceived mistakes. But yeah, you let people do their job. If they mess up, you hold them accountable. John says the vicious silence from the pulpits about truths of the faith is spiritual abuse. That's fact. That's a fact. Always encourage one of the priests that we have here. I guess all the priests that we have here, always encourage them. They're all pretty good homilists in their own way. But whenever they offer a homily that just repeats what the church teaches, like they'll say something from they have a homily just about the Holy Eucharist or receiving communion or just something in the catechism about confession. Always send them a message on WhatsApp. Say, man, that was a great homily. Or, man, that was one of your best homilies. Just to encourage them that, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of time writing a homily. Just tell us what the church teaches, and that would be enough. And that would be true, right? We don't need these anecdotes. We don't need to know a whole lot about, you know, we don't need a whole lot of personal stories, you know, unless it relates to what the church teaches, you know, but just keep it simple. You know, that would be enough. Dom says, according to the 1983 Latin canon law, parish does not need a parish council. But a financial council is required. Must have a parish council to do the... Yeah, parish councils I find are helpful. I really do. I find... I used to not like them. Until I moved here, and I found that a lot of priests have more than one thing to do. Right? Especially nowadays. Even in the States, priests have like multiple churches. And I think they're very helpful for the life of the church to do non-sacramental things. In a healthy parish council, always doesn't operate on its own, but in harmony with the priests. Because he gets his mission from, you know, he cooperates with the bishop. So you always have to be in union with your priest as a parish council. But some priests, they're really busy. And you don't want to burn out a priest. So I find that parish councils and, of course, financial councils, they can be a great service to a priest, a great service, and they can help help him focus on what he's supposed to be doing, offering the sacraments. So, Amen Noy says, the issue is that we have been blessed with good popes in the past. Now, when we are confronted with a bad pope who is poor in leadership, we don't know how to respond. We have to endure and persevere. Yeah. Yeah, because God willing, right? A lot of us is going to live to see the next pope. Maybe we'll continue to be blessed and maybe see another pope. Before this one, some of us were around for a couple other popes, right? So you step back from the mosaic, you can see the whole thing better. You can see the whole mosaic, right? That's a big thing. Sometimes your nose just pressed too far to it, against it, and you can't really see all of salvation history. Bad kings, bad prophets, bad popes. All right. It happens. But the whole mosaic, the designer, the author, is he who wills the good and true and who reconciles everything to himself. So the whole mosaic is being reconciled to God. All of salvation history is being reconciled to him. So even when someone does something objectively bad, God still will reconcile that to his good and to his glory. So Pope Francis is doing bad, then the trust point is that God is going to reconcile that for a good. And so we have to believe that. So, but for some reason, we just don't. We feel like we have to insert ourselves into this whole thing. And so that we can turn around everything for the good rather than trust that God will. So just, yeah, there we go. Wahlberger. Yeah. I think initially, did you say Whataburger? Yeah, Brianna. Wahlberger. Oh my gosh. Wahlberger makes me want to vomit. Just vomit. I don't know when if Joy was there, that was a good burger in the mall. But when we got here a couple of years ago, Wahlberger was still there. Now, I'll buy Wahlberger patties, right? I'll go to the commissary and I'll buy the patties. I think they're legit. If you want just a good meaty patty that's not really fatty, Wahlberger is a great patty, right, to make a burger out of. But the restaurant, what were they doing? Were they boiling burgers? What was that? It was just disgusting. Disgusting. Wahlberger was disgusting. And so, yeah, they got it out of here. I think they got it out of here because then Five Guys came to the base. So we have Five Guys now. And so especially once Five Guys came, nobody was going to Wahlberger. So I don't know if Wahlberger was kicked out or they left. But they're trying to put something else in that place now. That was Wahlberger was bad. I mean, bad. Christian Prince saying, in the first 3 days that the Nazi took over Czechoslovakia and Hungary, they executed all the priests, so the people had no leaders. Vatican II was about empowering ladies so they wouldn't just have to follow orders. Yeah. I get that point. I get the, you know, pre-Vatican II, understand how Father was just in charge of like everything. And again, I think it burnt a lot of priests out. It gave them a lot of control. You know, they weren't able to focus on just the sacraments, right? This is also a time you had religious orders and involved in schools, right? So I wish we still had that part pre-Vatican II. I wish we still had a lot of nuns and a lot of religious brothers and sisters teaching in Catholic schools, right? I don't like laity teaching, especially even when I was a theology teacher in like in high school. I thought it was just kind of weird, right? Like, why come, a priest should be teaching this, not me. Because he has, he's part of the teaching office of the church. So there's some aspects I would like to still see, but there are some aspects where I think it's good that there's some more laity involvement. But at the same time, we've seen the cross that Rubicon, we've seen have gone too far with our involvement and thinking that there are some things we need to be doing that we clearly we don't have the authority or the mandatum to do. Yeah, Anne's with me. Appreciate it. Christmas comes with a historical fact. Great point. Yeah, did you see this about Mel Gibson? So Mel Gibson, he puts out this letter. Let me see if I can find. I think it's on Complicit Clergy. He puts out this letter in support of Vigano. Yeah, here it is right here. Let me see if I can bring it up. This is just so, this is crazy. And Mel Gibson, he's a set of a contest. So Mel Gibson, he puts out this letter to Archbishop Vigano. He still calls him Archbishop, by the way, which he's not. He's just Vigano now. And he says he start so this is headed, right? He says, "I'm sure you expected nothing else from Jorge Bergoglio." That's how the letter starts off. I know you expected nothing else from Jorge Bergoglio. I know that he has no authority whatsoever. He calls him a modern day Athanasius. Of course, being called a schismatic and being called excommunicated by Jorge Bergoglio is like a badge of honor. I mean, Mel Gibson, I just lost all respect for him once he went set of a conscience. All respect. All respect. I usually separate art from the artist. I can usually make that like mental distinction. Like I can listen, I can still watch the Cosby Show. I can listen to R. Kelly music. I can make a distinction usually between art and artists. Usually. Not with Mel Gibson. I'll never watch anything that he puts out ever again. Trash. Can't do it. He needs my prayers, not my supports of his art. Can't separate the two. Brian says, how do you screw up a burger? Boil it. That's one way. Boil your meat. Know. I mean, if you like boiled burgers, fine. I think there's a place for that. I don't know. And I might be saying boil, like BOIL. I think what I mean is broil. Broil, I think. I think of what I'm trying to say. Anyway, it's not fried. It's not grilled. It was just hot. You ever had something that was like you kind of like unsure about how this thing got hot? That's the Wahlburger. It's not grilled. It's not fried. It's just hot meat, and it. It didn't have any seasoning on it. Like, oh my, oh man, man. I usually finish everything I put on my plate just because I think food should be finished. So even if something is disgusting, I usually just close my eyes and just consume it just because I know my body needs food. Not Wahlburger. I took two bites. The first bite, I was disgusted. The second bite, I just want to make sure that it was disgusting as the first bite. Like, man, maybe that first bite was a mistake. All right, you ever done that? You take a second bite just to see? yeah. Put that thing in the trash. Wahlburger. Throw it to the wall. My gosh. Yeah, Jay Spike didn't know that Mel Gibson was a SETI. Yeah, SETI.com. All day. Angela says, I'm still a newbie. Just trying to fix my wretchedness. Grace of God. Yeah. Right? Right? I think that's just the right place to be. That's it. Just, you know, the thing I have to tell myself like constantly all day is like, I can't even afford sin. Like I want to sin sometimes. Like, it's like in my head, oh, I should, you know, because, you know, thoughts creep in or you see something like, oh, man, I could do this. I could do that. But so I have to like talk to myself like all day, like, David, you cannot afford sin. It just, there's a price to sin you cannot pay. Only Jesus, like God himself, was able to pay the price of sin. You cannot afford it. I look at sin like financial debt. Like, I can't, you know how you get credit card offers? It's the same as temptation throughout the day. You get these credit card offers in your email or your mail, like, hey, we got a credit card for you. You're pre-approved. Just go to this website. I can't afford new debt. I don't need a new credit card. I got to keep the ones I have paid off, right? I can't afford that. Or you see something like, you know, car or something like that. You know, sometimes you do need a new car or whatever. But I look at sin like debt. I just can't take on new debt. And so, and that's just where we are all at. Just that basic level of trying to live a holy life. And when we fail, going to confession. I think if we just do that simple stuff, do our best, cooperate with God, don't sin. If we fail, go to confession. Go to Mass as often as we can. Whatever prayers that you're attracted to, the divine office, the rosary, do that. Pray all day long. If you just focus on that, well, why? You don't even have time for Vatican politics, first of all. Right? It's enough work just not sinning, you know, being a holy person. You know, if you follow Dominican spirituality, you know, you got to study, you know, you got to always consume something that will help you. Then you got to, you know, pray, you got to contemplate on that which you studied and that you prayed. Then you got to go live it out, right? There's no time to be worrying about what Vigano is doing, right? We have enough to worry about. So that's it. Jim says, I agree. The best way to cook meat is to barbecue it. That's the best way to do it. Meat. Man Noy says, why are SETIs and rad trags snowflakes? They don't know how to jump into the trenches and grind it out. Yeah. Yep. Their favorite word is just quit. Quitting is their code word. Brianna, great way to think about it. Sin, that's helpful. All right, peace out, Chip, my friends. I think we did good today. I talked for about 60 minutes. You talked for 30. And now we're out of here. And I will see you on the next time. But until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours. Remember that Jesus loves you and is there for you. God bless. Now, you guys are going to love this. We completely refurbished our merch store at Satan Downweeks Media. So come over to Satan Downweeks Media, hop over to merch and see what we have to offer you. We got some new stuff, but we still kept the old classic Rigid Catholic. I know you love it. A lot of you guys have it. You send me the pictures. I seen you in person with the Rigid Catholic. So it's a classic. It's not going anywhere, but we have it on some new things. We have it on shorts now. You get your Rigid Catholic shorts. It's hot outside. Put your shorts on, but let everybody know that you're a Rigid Catholic in shorts. Also, this is our new design. Now, you've heard, what would Jesus do? WWJD. But the fact of the matter, there's a lot of things that Jesus would do that you can do. It's like dying for people's sins, right? That's what Jesus would do, but you can't do it. It's already been done. But what would Jesus not do? That's the question. What would Jesus not do? Because everything Jesus would not do, you can't do either. So get the merch. Put it on. Put it on shorts. Put it on a hoodie. Send me a picture when you do it. This is the new merch at St. Dominic's Media. We got more coming, but check out this for now. What would Jesus not do? And Rigid Catholic. Take a picture. Send it to me. I want to see it. I want to post it. StDominicsMedia.com. Get the merch.